This morning and tonight I want to take as our theme of God speaking to us. And if God is speaking to us, the question must come immediately, are we listening and what are we doing about and with what he is saying? And having said that as our theme, we can then see where we're going this morning from a reading there in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10 comes immediately before us. Verses 9 and 10 perhaps together. Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." God is indeed speaking. As we gather together for our services like this, week by week, God is speaking to every one of us through his word. And we are in the very same situation as Samuel was in. A unique, but a privileged moment in time. A time when God confronts our soul, speaks personally to you and to me, and directs our thoughts and our minds to spiritual things. Our minds are perhaps legitimately involved in other things 6 days of the week. But here now, today, God is directing our thoughts to higher, nobler, more urgent things. The Lord is lifting the circle of our thinking, our understanding, and our perspective. Not just from what's going on round about us, but he's lifting our thoughts to heavenly and to spiritual realities. He is indeed speaking. He is speaking to us in Jesus Christ, his Son, the Savior, and in doing so, he's addressing our need of a Savior and the way in which he, the Lord Jesus Christ, dealt with our sins upon the cross. We are therefore in need of him, and he's calling us to him. He is speaking through his Son to every one of us. Are we listening? To begin with, Samuel wasn't understanding. We can be in the same circumstance. But then when it was explained to him, he was indeed listening, and he did what the Lord said and gave him to do. So not only do we have these precious, privileged moments in time, as we follow the example of Samuel. Samuel is also a challenge to us as to how do we respond when God speaks with us. What are we doing with what he is saying? The background here is quite easily understood and grasped hold of. God was not speaking directly to Eli. Eli was the spiritual leader in these days. He was the high priest. Normally he would be doing so. But even in the chapter we read together, we have told us exactly why he was not speaking. Verse 13, "I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows." What was that? "Because his sons make themselves vile, and he restrains them not." They were abusing and misusing the system of sacrifice and attendance at worship for their own sinful, sexual, personal interests. And Eli knew about it, but he did nothing to stop them. That's the problem. And because of it, God was no longer speaking to Eli. It should have been that way, but he lost his standing and he lost his position. God gave warnings to him. We go back to the previous chapter simply, and we find there that there was a man came to Eli to warn him about what was happening in his family. And now we have Samuel being raised up with God speaking to him. A lesson before we go any further about the way in which sensitivity to spiritual things can be lost. And before we know it, we've drifted a long way from where we should be. Things can come into our lives and can just nudge us little by little away from where we ought to be. And then when we come to our senses, we realize that there's a spiritual gap and we've lost our direction and God's word is shut and closed to us until we do something about what he has identified as the problem with us. God speaking. That's our theme this morning. He does it persistently. God does it progressively. He didn't give up on the first calling of Samuel. He kept on speaking to Samuel. God has a variety of ways of speaking to ourselves. He might speak even now when we remember a sermon. We remember something from the past, perhaps a familiar verse or a chapter or a portion of Scripture. Maybe a comment that was made a long time ago by somebody that was very close to us and has come back regularly to confront us, if not challenge us. Scriptural ways, a variety of ways in which the Bible comes to our mind. But that doesn't exhaust the repertoire of the Lord. There are events come into our lives, circumstances that come to us Monday through Saturday, points of things, and each one of them perhaps draws back to a spiritual reality. God speaking through an innocent circumstance, a throwaway comment, but it sticks in our lives and in our hearts. There's a whole variety of ways the Lord speaks. But the point of this passage is that God does speak, and he speaks despite the problems and the barriers in Eli. God does not and is not shut up in heaven, despite what people say today. And sometimes we even think that, well, things have gone so bad and so far that the door is shut completely. No, it isn't. There we have the very wonder. There you have the attractiveness, the grace of God, that although we might sometimes stray and wander far and go in deep into the mire and involvement of the world, yes, that might be where we go. But the Lord does not give up on us. He speaks and he calls, even in such fearful, dangerous circumstances. God is speaking still to us. So let's take this simply as our pattern and our example of God speaking to Samuel. And let's take from it several lessons about it that apply directly to ourselves. And the very first thing that we have to understand here is, with Samuel, as with ourselves, here this morning is a very solemn occasion for us. And then secondly, we have a special duty that was laid upon Samuel as upon ourselves. Listen, God speaking. And then we have a specific time set for us. It was that night that the Lord spoke to Samuel. And then we'll look at the end of something of the spiritual dangers that are there for us. So first of all then, the solemn occasion that here confronts us. The Lord came and the Lord spoke, as at other times he spoke to Samuel. It was the fourth time he spoke that Samuel understood. It was the Lord himself that spoke. And there is a solemnity and a seriousness that should weigh with us, that the Lord himself did it to Samuel. The focus is upon the immediate dealings of God with him and God's dealings with us. Nobody in between. Alone. You and your God. As he spoke in past times, so he is speaking now, a solemn occasion with us. He is speaking to us through the Scriptures. We sometimes try to dismiss and to avoid the challenge that comes in a sermon from a Bible, from a text. When the sermon is set out, we sometimes have a very particular text that puts us on the spot. And we try to bob and weave and duck and dive and get away from it. And we sometimes say, well, that's only David speaking. Or that's only Paul speaking. Or something, oh, that's only something from the history of God's people away, way in the distant times. And we try to neutralize the effect. We cannot do it here, and Samuel couldn't do it then. God himself is speaking with him, with us. He calls us to himself. Today his word is entering into our soul, into our mind, into our lives. We cannot go away pleading ignorance. We are different from when we arrived. There's something has happened to us. Something has confronted us. Something we've, every one of us received here this morning that makes us different. We have this solemn occasion of God speaking to us. And he is looking for a response from us. The same kind of response as Samuel gave him. And we have a warning there of, surely, don't trifle with God. Don't trifle with God. That's the lesson, one of the many that comes to us from Samuel here. He was solemn, he was serious in his approach in what he was doing. It was a serious occasion to him, and he treated it accordingly. As we come to listen to what God is saying to us, we too must give all our time and our attention to what he is saying. He is speaking to us patiently. He is speaking to us graciously. He is speaking to us on our circumstances and to our situation. But he won't always do that. There is a text that says the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. Don't delay. Don't defer. Don't be distracted. A solemn occasion requiring haste and urgency on our part. We think our lives are safe and secure, as they are with all we've got round about us in life. We've gathered things and we've spent our years so far gathering things together and putting them in order and setting up the structure and the habits and the procedures of life, and we've got everything taped and measured. And we think everything is hunky-dory. And we don't realize, and people today don't realize, that we're skating on thin ice. There's a danger just underneath our feet. A danger there of falling through. And that's part of the solemnity that we want to emphasize here this morning. A solemn occasion dealing with serious spiritual things But not only a solemn occasion for that, but also for this. Here is Samuel being isolated. The Lord was calling to him personally and specifically. Samuel! Samuel! There is the solemnity intensified by the use of his own name. And the same occurs with ourselves. The Lord speaking personally to any one of us. God's word coming home with a shaft of power and light. Coming home to us in a way that perhaps we've never known, if ever in the past, or perhaps we've forgotten about it for long enough. But now today, something different. God is speaking. And he's speaking to me or to you. And when he speaks to us on that kind of basis, we must be still. There's so much din and there's so much noise in our lives, and we've crowded out what God has said to us. We've become so involved with the business of 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock on a Monday morning. We've been so much mind is running ahead for the plans we've got to do and the things we've got to do. And it just simply floods into our lives and it smothers and it stifles anything and everything that God is saying. But when we realize the solemnity of this occasion, that God is speaking about our soul to us, and he's taken us to task for a relationship with himself, that's the warning and that's the time when we leave things at arm's distance from us. In the quietness, how appropriate this is for ourselves this morning. Where was Samuel? He was in the temple of the Lord. That's where the Lord was speaking to him. In the quietness of the house of God, the solemnity of the occasion, the solemnity we have here in the church of God. The noise and the din and the busyness of life left at the door, and the Lord speaking to us. He sets before us, and as he speaks, he sets before us the priority we've got to have. We all know it. One thing is needful. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There are so many texts that immediately come into our mind and our memory to support that simple truth of a priority the Lord has with us. And the urgency. These things, they're important, they're solemn, they're urgent. They're not always going to be in our hand to handle. Remember the barren fig tree and the way in which the man was going to chop it down. One more year. Just give it a chance. One more year. The kingdom of God is at hand, but we don't know how close. Wisdom, therefore, would dictate that we should make ready. The five wise and the five foolish virgins, or the bridesmaids rather, waiting for the bride to come in. Again, a familiar passage adding to the solemnity. When the darkness came and things were delayed, they all sat down. But when the noise went up, "You're coming," there were only five that were ready. The solemnity of God's, of the occasion of God speaking with Samuel, speaking personally, God's word coming home like an arrow to your heart and to your soul right now where we sit. In the silence and quietness of God's house. God speaking to us, the solemn occasion. But then we move on, as we've indicated, what is the special duty that has been set out here for Samuel? It is, listen. He was told that by Eli. Whenever God speaks to you again, Samuel, this is what you're going to say. Speak, Lord, for I'm listening. Incline your ear unto me. Come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. We're listening, and we might be listening for the time of the sermon and for what's said in the sermon, but then when we go away and we get involved in other things, we dismiss what we hear and what has been said. We look into the mirror, and we see an outline of ourselves, and yes, we recognize the outline, but we quickly forget what we saw. We're many of us throughout our land in Scotland today. There's other congregations just like ourselves. There's many, many people hearing. But how many are listening? How many are taking note of what's happening in their lives? That's what God requires of us, this special duty of listening to what is being said. Mary was involved in wonderful things about and concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary gives us a very challenging aspect of her life. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 19, it said that she pondered these things. The special duty that was laid upon Eli, the special feature of the life of Mary that comes to challenge ourselves to ponder. What does it mean? It means that just when these quiet moments come, and our mind begins to slip into neutral, when we're away from the hustle and the bustle of daily life for a moment, in these quiet times we begin to think again of what God has been saying to us. We listen and we begin to go over what we've heard. We don't let it slip, and we don't lose our grip, but we think, and we think, and we think again. When you're out, sometimes taking the dog for a walk along the canal bank, you see all of the ducks, whenever you rattle a plastic bag, they know there's food in it. And they'll always come gathering around you. And they're fighting and they're squabbling there to get anything for themselves. And there they are, and sometimes they're diving underneath, ducking underneath the water. They come up, they're not wet. The water just simply runs off them. Sometimes that's what happens to ourselves. What God is saying just simply runs off. It's easily dismissed. We don't ponder it. We don't lay it up. We don't store it, stack it, think about it. What Samuel is saying to us is very clear and simple. Listen to what God is saying. Sometimes we can be afraid to do that. We don't want too much of God's Word because God's Word makes us uncomfortable. God keeps on telling us things about our lives that we don't want to hear because we don't like hearing them. Things that are wrong, things that need to be put right. And God keeps on telling us these things and we just don't want it anymore, so that we put up the shutters and we pull down the blinds and we lock the door and we shut out the lights. That's sometimes what we do. But we can't do it today. God is here and God is speaking. And He's telling us simply things that we need to hear. He's teaching us not only about ourselves, but He is teaching us also about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that bear in upon our lives, from all the different dimensions and departments of life, they all come to bear upon one simple, vital, spiritual thing. What is our relationship with God? What is our relationship with Him? And He's laying on us this special duty to listen to what He is saying to us. He is calling us by name. He is graciously inviting us to come to Himself. He has made ready a feast. And the invitation is given out to all and sundry, to those who are incapacitated, those who are infirm, those who don't have any resource. All different ways of describing a spiritual bankrupt. We don't have anything that will stand the test of God's character or environment. We don't have anything that measures up in the currency of heaven. We are bankrupt over our heads. But these are the very ones that the Lord now comes and He speaks to. And the very fact that we're bankrupt and we don't have anything, yes, it's sore. It's sore in here when God speaks like that. And we realize we've got no defense. But He's graciously inviting us when we know just how bad things are with us. He's inviting us to Himself and to the provision that He's made in Jesus Christ, His Son. Listen, as He graciously invites us, come unto Me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is not only that gracious invitation, but there is that grand promise. The promise of rest. What we've been looking for, what has been so elusive, what's been evading us all these days and years of our lives. That's the very thing that the Lord is addressing and speaking of in this solemn occasion as He meets with us here. And He lays not any grandiose thing, not any great complex answer. He's not setting out something that's going to test us and try us beyond our ability. There is a simple, simple duty to listen and to respond to what He says. Remember, just to put it in briefly, the example of Naaman, the leper in 2 Kings, when Elisha was summoned to bring healing to this man who was a leper, and Elisha says, go and wash in the Jordan. And Naaman took the hump. Why can I not wash in some of my own rivers, of my own land? Are they not every bit as good as the Jordan? And the little girl turned and said to him, look, you want to be healed. You want to be cured. Go and do it. Obedience. That's what the Lord requires. Not something complicated. Not something grand or grandiose. But it's a simple, special duty the Lord sets before Samuel and ourselves to listen to what God is saying. Yes? A solemn occasion, yes, a special duty. But thirdly, what we have here, a specific time. When did that happen? When did all this take place? It happened that very night. Three times the Lord spoke and Samuel didn't understand. Then when he was given explanation and he had understanding from Eli, that very night, the Lord spoke with him again. There were several opportunities passed. Several opportunities when God had spoken with him. Samuel didn't understand. But when he did, and when the explanation was given, that was the crucial, decisive moment. Then the Lord spoke. A specific time. And surely we can see that applying to ourselves, the specific time, here, now, today. We can see our own pattern reflected in the life and the experience of Eli, of Samuel here. How many sermons have we heard in the past? How many times has the Lord spoken to us? How many times, how long has it been? When did the message of the gospel first come to our ears? When did God speak to us first time round? Oh, we've got to stretch our hand our way back deep into our memories. We've got to stretch our hand our way, way back. But then the Lord says to us, how many more do you need? How many more do you need? We have this opportunity and we have this time now. And the Lord is speaking and the Lord is challenging to us now. He is calling us to trust in Him, to listen to what He is saying and obey what He is telling us. The longer we put it off, oh, we can always look to the experience of the thief on the cross and we think, well, maybe I'll have that opportunity when I'm almost breathing my last. And yes, it's an encouragement that the day of grace and opportunity is there to the end. But remember, there were two thieves and it was only one that took that opportunity and was saved. And the second one is a warning to us never to presume. Don't put things off. Put your house and your soul and things in order now, today, right away. Now is the time. We don't, any one of us, have the promise of tomorrow. And the longer we put things off, the more hardened we become and the more settled we are in the habits and in the ways and the routines of the world. We begin to develop a pattern about our life that is harder and harder and harder to break. And the Lord says, now, before things go any further, now, before any further progress is made in that hardening and lock and loss of sensitivity, now, the Lord is calling us. This very night, to Samuel. This very morning, to ourselves. Our solemn occasion is sharpened up. Sharpened up and given urgency and import. Sharpened up and given a priority. Sharpened up as the Lord speaks to us now with privilege and opportunity. But sharpened up in one other way with Samuel. When you go on to the next chapter, chapter 4, and a messenger comes back and says exactly what happened, that the people of God were defeated and the ark of God was captured, and the news came of what? Eli was there and they said to him, bad news, friend. Your two sons have died. Your two sons have been killed in battle. And not only that, but the ark of God was captured as well. And at verse 18 of chapter 4 we read, and it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. The specific time that we've got, the opportunity now is sharpened when we've got the voice of death calling us. We don't know how long we've got before our days are over and done. They may not run their full span. We hope they do. But we know others whom we've grown up with, gone to school with, played with, lived with, shared experiences of life with,
but they're no longer with us to share breath. Specific time. Now. So what are the dangers? Our time is gone. We've looked at the solemn occasion, the special duty, the specific time. What are the spiritual dangers? Don't put things off. Don't put things off like the duck or the dog coming out of the water and shaking so there's no permanent effect with what we've heard and what we've had here with ourselves this morning. Samuel's life was changed from that night and the meeting with the Lord that night. And that's what we want and must have ourselves, that our lives would be different as well from what God has been saying and doing and sharing with us here today. God has given to us His own Son. He draws our attention and our mind to what took place on the cross. The greatest sign possible of His love, of His mercy, and of His grace. The plans He has made for sinners to be set free. And so often we think, yes, that's fine, but I want something else. I want a sign. I want something, a dream. I want some impression, experience. I want this, I want that. And we can pile up so much extra beside what God requires of us. And today we've got to strip all that away and listen to the special duty that God laid upon Samuel. Listen. Obey and do what He says. Listen, obey, and do what God is setting before you in this special personal meeting this morning. There is no better way of eternal salvation being set before us than to have our minds and our thoughts fixed upon the cross. And to have this in our mind that God is speaking with us. How do we respond? Two ways. Remember the prodigal son in the distant land having wasted and spent everything. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my father and I'll confess the wrong that I've done. Or again, in the book of Psalms, it says, and this is the contrast and the warning for us. We stick our chin up and our chest out and we say, who's the Lord over me? I am my own boss. The Lord has no time for such excuses. The Lord has no time for such excuses and speaking. He is speaking with us today, calling us to Himself, to trust and obey in Him. Let us indeed be like that prodigal son. Let us arise and let us go to Him and cast ourselves upon His grace and His mercy. Yes, there is a simple, but a great privilege we all have here this morning. God is indeed speaking. The simple question is, are we listening? And what are we doing with what He is saying? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we bless Thy name for Thy patience in dealing with us yet again of what we've experienced and shared with each other here this morning. The great privilege of sitting underneath the word of the Lord And we ask, O God, that it might come home to us with power and application, and that we might realize, Lord, what thou dost say and call us to do and to be. And we pray that in thy grace and by thy power, we might indeed be found as many others before us, that we with them might lean and put our confidence and our boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, make it to be so for us, as we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 17 and at verse 5. 17 at 5, hold up my goings, Lord, me guide in those thy paths divine, so that my footsteps may not slide out off those ways of thine. I call have on thee, O God, because thou wilt me hear, that thou mayest hearken to my speech, to me incline thine ear. Thy wondrous loving kindness show thou that by thy right hand saves them that trust in thee from those that up against them stand. As the apple of the eye me keep, and thy wings shade me close, from lewd oppressors compassing me round as deadly foes.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.